And then as we mentioned before, this is our 75th year anniversary. Pastor Todd mentioned that a while ago, and Pastor Nick mentioned how we're celebrating that. But I want to pray into that a little bit more. I'm so thankful for the shoulders that we stand on. Many great men and women have given a lot to see Wasilla saved. And so now you and I stand on that to see this whole valley saved. Because it's not just our church for the last 75 years, but we're joining with every Christian in this valley to see it changed and saved and healed and delivered. And we have to want that as a church. As Christians, we have to want that. So let's take a moment and pray that across the valley today, the Holy Spirit moves, encounters, and changes hearts. Do you want that? Let's pray it. God, we pray just that. Lord, that across this valley, your Holy Spirit will be welcomed into every church. Lord, that the ones that don't even believe that you move today would feel the very presence of the Holy Spirit encountering them, Lord, in an undeniable way. And I pray that across the valley today, seeds would be sown of grace and love and truth that would flourish into the fruit of salvation across the valley. Lord, I pray against all the addiction, Lord, all the things that have reigned across this place, we pray that they would all be broken down in Jesus' name. Lord, that there would be freedom that shoots across the valley, that this valley would be known for being free. Lord, we thank you and we welcome your Holy Spirit to do all of this. And we ask that you would start it with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you didn't know, we like to pray. We like to pray because we can't do anything on our own. But I want to jump in this morning. Are you ready for the word? Awesome. Well, you know, I'd been trying to prepare today's message. I'm going to give you a little insight into the life of a pastor. If you didn't know, a pastor actually has to study for what he does on Sunday mornings. I know a lot of people don't realize that. But I'd been trying to prepare today's message, and I was struggling because a pastor, like anyone else, has to hear from the Lord. And sometimes you are wondering why he has not spoken. You ever feel like that? So I'm studying there, and I had come up with this good idea. It's Founders Day. You know, we were celebrating 75 years, and my message was going to go along with that we were going to keep building and trusting and planning. And I had this great example set out that one of the men working on the church, his father worked on this church, his grandfather worked on this church, and the legacy there. And, you know, that sounds like a great message, right? Amen. Yes, it would have been a great message. Yes. But when I tried to study, get this, the Holy Spirit was not in it. The Holy Spirit was not in that. So I was praying for some direction, and I was pressing in a bit. And instead of a message, if you didn't know this about me, I love music. God gave me some song lyrics. And I thought, oh, cool. I wrote those down and then went on my way. Okay, God, I need you to speak. And so I'm praying, and I pick up my guitar again, I'm playing a little bit, and he gives me some more lyrics. And I'm still thinking, like, God, I need you to speak. And it occurs to me, maybe God has spoken. And so I came in the next day, this was Friday, and I'm praying, God, are you sure that this direction is what you want me to go? And immediately after I pray that, behind me, right outside of my office, are those really, really annoying cranes. And I pray, God, is this you? Are you speaking? And immediately, just squawk, 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 annoying. And, you know, I don't read into everything. I'm not one of those type people. But I had to chuckle at myself because sometimes what you're trying to hear is right there in front of you. Sometimes it might startle you even, and you have to listen to what the Lord might say. And as I thought about that, I had to realize that if we were going to truly honor the legacy of this church that we stand on, we have to move according to the Holy Spirit. Because that's what this church stands on. We believe and move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And not that we don't plan, because we try to plan as much as we possibly can. But inside of all of that, the Holy Spirit has to move. That is what we want. That is why we are here. And he doesn't always speak in the way we expect. And we don't always understand in the way we want to understand. But I want to look at some of those moments today, because they have to do with how we approach life and the outlook we have of things, how God works on the perspectives that we see to change it to his perspective. To his perspective. You know, I came in on that Friday to keep working, and God showed me he has already spoken. Sometimes what God wants and what he says is just right there to see. Sometimes when we feel like it's the quietest moment, there can be an obvious answer or a squawking bird behind you that God has already spoken, especially when it comes to his word and what the Holy Spirit might say. So this morning, I think God wants to speak. Can you receive that? I know he wants to speak. So I want to look today at what I've entitled, Feel the Weight. Feel the Weight, as we go through some parallels in the Christian life. Feel the Weight. And what I mean by a parallel is two similar things that are happening at the same time. And the first of those thoughts is that initial thought of feel the weight. And I want to start off with that thought because most of us know what it is to feel weight or pressure in this life. Have you ever felt that way? Everyone should raise their hand. But we sometimes ask ourselves, and these are just a few questions, but questions like this. How do I get through this? Or why does it feel like this always happens to me? Or what am I supposed to do? Or get this one, how could they do that to me? Aren't they a Christian? And then there's those questions of how can I afford this? Or how can I figure this out? How do I protect my kids? How do I support my family? How do I take care of my family or my parents? How can I ever retire? How can I plan for my future? Can I bear this weight on my shoulders? Do you ever feel that weight? Sometimes there are those of us who can feel it in a physical way, as stress manifests into physical things happening in our bodies, and we feel the weight and pressure in this life. And it's with that thought, I want to look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18, 16 through 18. And there's going to be a lot of scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. It's talking about the things that we go through in life as Christians. It says this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, this in context is Christians being persecuted and suffering for Jesus' sake. And it's not just that it's suffering because it's hard or an I don't want to die or I'm afraid of pain that might happen here. This is also a what happens to my children, and in this context, if their mom is thrown to the lions, or if their dad is crucified on a cross that they lined the streets on the way to Rome. Or what do I do about these people that are refusing to pay me just because I'm a Christian? Or that a person, a friend even, has betrayed me? Or the how will I provide and support my family and those around me that are depending on me if I do follow the Lord? And can I live this example for others to follow? The question of, I don't know. And in the face of all these questions, the weight of what we're struggling with to bear, I want to draw our attention to verse 17 in the passage we just read, where it says, our light affliction, our weight, for a moment, is working for us a far better and eternal weight of glory. And that word working means to accomplish fully. God is allowing the things that are in your life to accomplish work in you. The struggles will fully accomplish the glory meant to come out of your life. That work gives God glory. And we don't fully realize the depth of this at first glance. The word weight there carries the notion of a going down, a load, an abundance, an authority even. And we look at that as a pressing down upon us, the weight that we cannot hold. But as we walk through the things, we feel weighted down by life. If we go through them with the Lord in the way He has called us to walk through them, He receives glory from that. And that glory upon Him intensifies. It gets heavier, the weight of His glory. And the word glory means dignity and honor and praise and worship. And God comes to where He is glorified. His presence shows up there. The weight of His glory is the weight of His presence. So the more glory that you give Him in a situation, the more of His presence, His authority, His abundance is there. And it is weighted into that place or situation. You glorifying Him brings His authority and His abundant provision and His power and His presence there. Psalms 115:1 says this, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. This psalm is written in a place of being attacked by another army, with having to go through a battle and having to trust God. And they're about to go into battle and they are looking at what everyone around them is trusting in, the different idols and the things that they have made with their own hands and can do on their own. But Israel at this moment in this psalm is called to take their trust out of all those other things and place it in the hands of God, who it says later is their help and their shield. And this gives God glory. It says that He is mindful of them, just like He is mindful of you and I, that He thinks about us. And it says that He will bless them who fear Him, who honor Him. It even says both small and great, making sure that every single person can receive this. It doesn't matter who you are, God can be with you when you look to Him. And it ends that psalm in verse 18 with blessing God for His love, His mercy, and His faithfulness. Before going into battle and during battle, they set their minds to bless God. Not just after the battle, but they set their mind, I will bless God when I look at a circumstance I can't handle on my own. Church, make sure you're giving God glory in your current circumstance, good or bad. Recognize His love, His mercy, His faithfulness, and He will meet you there with His presence and the weight of His own glory in your life. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 says this, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In this moment, Isaiah is saying this after seeing a vision of God's glory and His holiness, and he is left humbled, aware of his own imperfection. We can do one of two things in every hard situation that we encounter. We can become prideful and decide to do things on our own, or we can see the greatness of the glory of God, and we can decide to humble ourselves to let God lead us through to the victory that He has planned for that situation. And right after this, Isaiah is symbolically cleansed and commissioned to go because God is working in him like he is working in us. His glory is preparing us for future things, even eternal things. And the humility that you decide to walk in prepares you to be cleaned and commissioned to do the work of God. We must recognize the weight of God's glory and welcome it instead of the weight that we put on ourselves. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. First, we have peace with God. In every trial, every weight of this life, made possible through Jesus Christ, to have grace through faith in every situation and circumstance, but also to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not just his eternal glory, but right now in your life, God is glorified by whatever you do. He can be glorified by it. And so we are not just disappointed in this hope, but we know God's love is poured out in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to you the love of God in every circumstance. And he can do this at any moment, but he does this in every weighted moment that you experience. Through the difficulty, God reveals himself and his love for you inside of it. There can be a rejoicing when this happens because you don't lose hope. That you stand on the fact that you still have peace and you know God gets the glory from it all. In my life, he will get the glory. So that when I follow Christ, no matter what happens to me, I can walk in peace with grace and faith, knowing God will get the glory from me. And when he gets the glory, that gives me joy. So we take all these things and apply them to the weight that we feel without the glory of God, and realize that there is a weight stronger than what we feel, the weight of his glory. And we see that God is working through it all. Not that he causes it all, because it doesn't say that. But as we glorify him, the weight on our shoulders gets lifted due to the weight of his glory in the room. His glory is so heavy, it outweighs the weights on your shoulders so that all you see is his glory. We recognize he is God and offers in exchange for the weight that so easily wears us down, the weight of his glory and his presence. That when we humble ourselves like Isaiah and receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can be at peace and are assured of hope for the future, and that hope will not disappoint. You might feel a weight this morning, but at the same time, paralleling your experience is the weight of God's glory. That will exchange your weight for his if you put your eyes on his glory instead of only in your circumstance. When you feel the weight of this life, remember the weight of his glory. When you feel the weight of this life, remember the weight of his glory. And the parallels keep going. Number two, carry the cross. The cross that should be our shame, but where my shame is taken away. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily to follow me. Now Luke adds a word here that the other gospels do not. The word daily. Because Luke knows this is something that has to be done daily. If we don't keep it up, we'll start to fall behind. And not only that, but this is a lifestyle. Christianity is a daily experience. Did you know that at all times and everywhere you go, you are a Christian? So if you're at work, if you're driving, sports, games, reading, school, watching a show, eating, sleeping, you're a Christian. What is it to sleep like a Christian? You might need to claim that in your life. What is it to eat like a Christian? We might need to eat a little less. Everything we do should be in the light of the gospel. Everything. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We can forget that sometimes, that we are saved. And because of what the Holy Spirit has done, we have everything that we need in this life. And I know it doesn't always feel like that, but that's what we're talking about this morning. Something that is true beyond your feeling. Because if you didn't know, and differing than our culture and world around us, you cannot trust your feelings. You can trust what is true. And this is true. To walk through any trial, circumstance, or weight that we feel, we have the Holy Spirit to guide and comfort us at every moment. And the world, and sometimes us, doesn't understand that following God and taking up your cross daily isn't a weight of religion. It isn't a burden of rules or a message of hatred. It is freedom inside of the cares of this life, knowing that you are looked after. It is not emptiness trying to work for something more in this life. It's knowing why you were created and knowing the Creator himself. It isn't hatred that leads to eternal pain and damnation, but really the removal of what we truly deserve. The damnation that we do deserve. The cross is foolishness to them, but to us, it is the power of God. Colossians 2:14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Church, the weight of sin and judgment against us has been nailed to the cross. And sometimes we forget that and don't live in a spirit of gratitude. Don't live like other people need to know this. That my weight has been lifted. It has been nailed to the cross. And I like that picture because it can't be removed from the cross. It is nailed to the cross. And the cross that I bear now, I bear in my own free will by the power of God and God alone. And out of gratitude that I can do something for the one I eternally love and owe my life. Mark 10:21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." The young man that this was spoken to didn't realize the offer given to him. He thought that what he already had was worth so much more. But it's not. Church, whatever you have in this life is not worth the eternal value you would exchange it for. What is God saying to you? What has he called you to? Take what is being offered to you. The most valuable thing you have is to follow Christ and exchange your cross, your weight, for his. And this is not just for salvation in general. It is that. But what have you been holding on to today that you need to give to him? And say, "God, you are worth more than this. And I will gladly take my cross in this area and follow you." Matthew 10:38. "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Do we realize how worthy God is? He's worthy not just of all the glory that we can give him forever. But did you know he is worthy, get this, to take your pain and your unforgiveness and your bitterness and our selfishness and our pride and our secret sin and our offense and whatever it is. He proved that he was worthy to take all of that and remove it onto his shoulders and off of yours. Did that on the cross. So why do we hold on to it? And church, when we don't give it to him, get this, when we don't give those things to him, we say that he is not worthy enough to take it. Not that he isn't able, but not worthy enough for us to give it what he bought. He bought all of those things. Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were already deemed unworthy and unholy," that's when Christ died for us. He had already planned to demonstrate what love is. So how much more, having received the death and resurrection of Jesus, should we desire to take our cross and follow him? To love him by not carrying the weight that he died to remove. I'm going to say that again. To love him by not carrying the weight he died to remove. Some label the cross as the great exchange. Make sure we give him what he paid for. It's foolishness to some, but it is the biggest eternal blessing we could ever hope to have. We carry our cross because he took our shame. And the symbol of shame is what took away our shame, the cross. It is worth it to daily take it up. And let me tell you why. The third parallel this morning is that we are yoked and tethered to Jesus. So where it gets even better. Can you say even better? Even better. We are yoked to Jesus. If you don't know what that word means, it refers to when an animal of burden, like an ox or a donkey or a horse, whatever it is connected to another animal, and the two accomplish what the farmer is doing together. Carrying, pulling, plowing. Matthew 11:28-30 says this. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, Jesus, when teaching this, I want you to note, he's not removing the person or the animal in this case from the circumstance, even though he can do that. He is teaching here that instead of being tied to all the things that weigh you down, being stuck there with no hope, opportunity, or freedom, being unable to accomplish what you've been tasked to do, he is willing to come in and be tied to you to accomplish what you can't do on your own. Leviticus 26:13 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. Jesus knows that we are slaves to sin without him. Slaves to the world around us without him. Where we have been bent or broken or beat down, striving and working, Jesus comes in and says, I will break that yoke and I will come down and tie myself to you. And we can do this not according to your strength, but according to my own power. God's power is accessible in every situation of your life. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. There is a temptation to go back to where we have been or what we have been freed from. And this happens when we don't stay tied and yoked together with Jesus. Church, you will always yoke yourself, tie yourself to something. If it's not God, it will be something else. Stay close. Being yoked is freedom. In Acts 15:10, it says, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Inside of what God was doing in the early church, the miracles happening, the growing church, there were those who had lost sight of what Jesus does and who he is. And they tried to put extra laws and extra regulations on, wanting to yoke themselves to what they could do instead of what God had done. Even in the church, the temptation to tie ourselves to things that don't get us anywhere, but things that we can control. And when you are in control, if you didn't know, God is not. We try to put weights on each other that lead to nowhere or to death. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? This verse is often in the context of marriage. But how much more in our relationship with the Lord? That we keep wanting to be tied to all these things that don't represent who we were created to be. And also tied to things that, get this, God has no fellowship with. If you didn't know this, I'm sure you can relate. We can't be married to two people. I don't know about you, but I think that would be a nightmare. Because you can only love one the most. We must choose to whom or what we are tied to. Again, in 1 Corinthians 6:17, in the context of marriage and in sexual sin, it says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We join ourselves to God, so we belong to him. We belong to him. In every area, I am joined. I'll give you an insight into my life. My wife will not say this because she owns it. She is nosy. If I'm texting somebody, who are you texting? She wants in on the conversation. If I'm calling somebody, hey, who are you talking to? She wants in on the conversation. If I'm walking to the back of the house, where are you going? What are you doing? Going to the bedroom. Whatever it is, she wants to be involved. And God is the same. He wants to be involved. He already knows what you're going to do. He knows your thoughts. But he wants to be involved in the conversation. Is it a good idea to text that person? Should you say that? If we involve God in more of the areas of our life, we'd probably get into a little less trouble. When he says, yeah, delete that text. Don't call them right now. Don't do that. You probably shouldn't go there. You're going to be tempted there. Whatever it is, God wants to be with you. I might get in trouble for this, but I feel like God is nosy. He wants to be involved. And we are better together with the Lord. And that's good, because watch this. Isaiah 58:6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. This verse is talking about fasting, something that being close to God, he will lead you to do. It's not a question. He will lead you to fast if you are close to him. And the intention of it is to break every other yoke or thing that you have been tied to. Be yoked to God and God alone. And he will lead you into that. Being yoked to God is freedom from whatever else holds you. What God calls you to are boundaries that protect you and places that will shelter you, people that will grow you, situations that will prepare you. And he doesn't leave you to do any of this alone. He ties himself to you through all and every circumstance in life. The ones that we create, the ones the world creates, the ones the enemy creates, and the one that God creates. He ties himself to you so that you can trade whatever else you've been tying yourself to in for freedom. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. The things in this life, even the weights that seem to pull us down, we cannot accomplish or bring out of them all the good things that God wants to do unless we do them tied to him. He will steer you through and pull good out of every situation. That thing that you are struggling with, God can use it for good. In your own life and in those lives around you, you can trust him. He is choosing to be tied to you, to take on your burden, and will plow through whatever is before you. I want you to think about that for a moment. I'm going to ask you a question that's a little personal so you don't have to verbally answer. Does your spouse always like being with you at every moment? I'll answer it for you. Probably no. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because even in those moments where your spouse might not like you, God is with you. And he has tied himself to you and says, we're doing this together no matter what. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. The weight you feel can be given to him continually, daily. And in fact, it has to be. It has to be. You are not meant to pick it back up again. Instead, you are given the ability to abound in every circumstance and life with thanksgiving. The ability to, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Through the power of God in his Son Jesus Christ, we can lay every weight aside so that we can run. Not weighed down by this life, but run. To cast off the weight, to see the weight of his glory as we run with him. Can you imagine? Some people, when they work out, they use weights. I'm reminded of a runner. Sometimes they'll use a backpack of weights. Or a hiker that uses a backpack of weights. But when it comes to the race itself, they cast off those weights so they can run freely. And we have to do that this morning. There are weights you go through in life, situations that God even allows, in a sense, to weigh you down so that you can run. He sets you free to run. To feel the weight of his glory instead of our own. To see his cross and take up our own. And to be yoked to God as he ties himself to us. Can you receive that this morning? If you can, please stand across this place as the worship and prayer teams come. Church, we take a lot of weight upon ourselves that we were never meant for. And a lot of that is out of a good heart to do great things or help people or be faithful or stable, dependable, and strong. But the greatest strength you can have is to be strong enough to give those things to God so that you and those around you can accomplish greater things in his power. He has paid to remove your weights and tied himself to you instead. And today, as the prayer team comes, give your weight to God so that he is glorified by it. Stop robbing him of his glory. Welcome him in. Or if you need to say to him that he is worthy to take the hardest things in your life, the circumstance or the offense, the bitterness, whatever you are struggling with, he is worthy of it. And that you will take your cross and follow him. Or finally, if you need to give up whatever you've been holding on to and tying yourself to then be yoked to Jesus, that in his power, he can accomplish everything in your life that you need accomplished. Give him glory, take up your cross, and be yoked to him. And if you need prayer for anything else this morning, any other need, God can meet you there. Come if you need prayer. You can pray in your seat as we go back into some worship. But let's cast off the weights this morning and give God glory. Amen.